American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
This is the National Intel Report. I'm American Free Press roving editor Mark Anderson, filling in for John Stadtmiller here on RBN. And it is 10 January 2017. My guest is Ron Avery, describing and extrapolating on his very important lawsuit against Hearst Media, which in this case is the Houston Chronicle, and Dylan Baddour, reporter there. And this lawsuit tells us a lot of things we might not want to hear, but very instructive nevertheless. And Ron, you were saying before the break something that I don't want to let go of for just a moment. We're talking about weaponized media that sets up the citizen to be redefined as a would-be enemy of the state, media that on the larger scale gets us and keeps us in wars, media that keeps us enmeshed in a medical system that keeps us hooked on dangerous vaccines. We could go across the gamut of what a weaponized media really means, and it's pretty scary. But what you were saying indicates that the judiciary, in some manner here, is a partner in this weaponization, in the sense that you can't get a redress of a grievance. You can't get relief from the libel. And if John Locke is correct, and the absence of a properly functioning judiciary amounts to a state of war, then we have a virtual weaponized judiciary.
Well, that's exactly right. And you've got to ask yourself, why is it that they want to do this? And I believe the media is complicit in the events of 9/11. And that's why you cannot get mainstream media to cover the evidence that's been exposed and uncovered by individuals and people that worked at universities and things like that. The mainstream media will not cover that information. They, even though they've been made aware of it, they will not print it. They will not give it any credence at all. And then they go about trying to make ordinary citizens into terrorists. And that only tells me that the government is dissolved and it's worried about the people finding it out and the people finding out what's been done to them, and to actually remove their person from the role that they're playing, and to actually create lawful government.
Well, it certainly, the trail seems to certainly lead that direction. I'll give you that. It's clear that they wouldn't go through all this at the media and judicial levels without a reason. And that reason must be the skeletons in the closet, and that door better not pop open all the way with the people seeing and understanding what they're seeing. And now notice with the Trump campaign, whether you like Trump or not, the one thing the Trump campaign did was give more exposure to the media's duplicity and their lies and their fake news. And now the jig is up a little bit. The mask is slipping off, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, like never before, and they never talked about fake news a year or two ago, suddenly they're calling everybody else fake news. people like John Stadtmiller and his radio show, people like Mark Anderson and his newspaper and web outlets, people like bloggers like yourself, and others in the so-called alternative media, we're fake news, a meme, a narrative they never used before. They've pulled this out of their holster only very recently. And yes. So it's very interesting, and you only do that when you have something to hide, when you have some pretty ugly skeletons in the proverbial closet. And so, yeah, your lawsuit is tough. Your lawsuit in many ways is discouraging. You've run into a lot of roadblocks, but nevertheless, it's important in what it tells us.
Correct. Yes. And what they're doing now is creating fake terrorists. And what I mean is things that when we talk about fake news or news that's being perverted and the law perverted, it's not that everything about a particular situation like they report on, say, the San Bernardino shootings or something. Maybe not everything that they report is unfactual. Maybe there is some truth to it. But the way they spin it and what they actually do to it at the end makes it really a fake story, that it's not really, that's not really what happened. And see, in my case, it's the same thing. They've made fake terrorists out of just misreporting some of the thing, getting two or three lies in there and then building on those lies. When, you know, see the Fourth Court of Appeals said, well, this is substantially true. In order to have a libel suit, you have to have at least two of the major things. It has to be defamatory, meaning it really does harm your reputation. Number two, it has to be false. And you see, I proved, at least in my own mind, and I think you could probably see it too, that it's not true that I was a member of the Republic of Texas. And even the Chronicle agreed to that. They did make a statement in their article that I was not a member of it. They corrected it once I, you know, told them that. But they didn't correct the whole article, which I asked them to do. I wanted them to correct the whole thing. I actually wanted them to retract the whole thing because it was based on a false premise.
So their only retraction was that one part? Did they
All they did was say that I wasn't a member of the Republic of Texas. And that wasn't me in the photograph, in the first photograph on the front page.
I don't mean to interject, but did they still insist that you were a secessionist? They never retracted that part.
Well, not in the article they didn't, but they in some email he insisted that I was still a secessionist, and in fact, some of their pleadings, yes, they did indicate that they thought I was a secessionist, even though I provided all this information showing for sure that I was against it and had spoken against it for years.
But have they maintained to this day that you're a secessionist? I'm just curious.
I'm sorry?
Have they maintained even up till now that you're a secessionist? They won't give on that point? Am I correct in saying that?
Well, I'll tell you what happened after. Goodness, I'll tell you, that is totally loud in here.
Well, go on. I'm sorry. I wanted to nail that down.
They haven't, after the Fourth Court of Appeals, they did write my goodness, let me get, I don't know why people aren't answering this. They didn't write anything after the Fourth Court of Appeals. They have not. When I petitioned the Supreme Court, a petition for review, they did not respond to it. They've not written any more since the Fourth Court of Appeals. They don't have to unless they're requested to by the court, by the judges.
Oh, so they're going with the silent thing now. Okay, gotcha.
So they've not responded to my petition for review at the Supreme Court or my motion for rehearing at the Supreme Court, but. They do, and the Fourth Court of Appeals, see, let's get back to the two elements. It has to be false, and it also has to be defamatory. Well, we talked about defamation and how they got rid of my evidence for defamation. Of course, they only have to prove one of these. They don't have to prove both of them, but they took both of them out anyway, and the Fourth Court of Appeals backed them up, and they said, Fourth Court of Appeals said this article is
We're getting lots of crackling.
I'm sorry?
We're getting lots of crackling. What he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, of course, is that they have to show that it's both defamatory and false. Clearly, Ron was never a secessionist, and he was not a member of the Republic of Texas, never has been. So the falsity is there. And certainly, you're defamed when people are saying you ought to be waterboarded at Gitmo, and they're writing it in a public venue. And it's not supposed to be up to the courts to interpret, to put themselves in the place of the public. They're supposed to interpret it objectively and impartially by the letter of the law, by the objective existence of the law, and that did not happen. So by any reasonable interpretation, Ron was defamed, and falsehoods were told, so it does rise to the level of libel. And I'm not sure when we'll get Ron back. We've had some technical difficulties. Of course, Skype connections are notoriously vulnerable. And I'll mention, too, until we get him back, that, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you saw the news today. You probably did, that a rather surprising thing. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was hired by Donald Trump to serve on a special committee to review the safety of vaccines and scientific integrity. And we're talking about weaponized media, and I'll just go out on a tangent here a little bit while we fix things. And the media right away, instead of in a more even-handed way talking about RFK Jr. being hired by Trump and what it's for and just giving the basic facts, right away is talking about the widely discredited theory that vaccines cause autism. And most of the Washington Post article, for example, weaponized media, in a sense here again, is just denouncing anyone, including RFK Jr. and Trump, who might have even the slightest doubt about the safety of vaccines. And I would point out that this, among the many ways we're talking about, relabeling people as domestic terrorists, like what Ron Avery's talking about tonight on the RBN show, or whether it's getting us or keeping us in war, whether it's not reporting accurately that the city of Aleppo in Syria has actually been largely, if not completely, liberated. In all these ways, the media, by withholding information or reporting false information, is bringing real harm upon society at the individual, group, and national and international level. And this is the gamut of a weaponized media book I happen to be working on, but Ron is bringing a real-life situation here, his lawsuit, explaining a particular aspect of weaponized media. But with the vaccination issue, we're looking at a situation where, since the media only reports that basically all vaccines are good, anybody that doubts the safety of vaccines is an anti-vaxxer, and of course they drag out the classic tag, conspiracy theorist. You're always a conspiracy theorist. Therefore, by giving the public the false view that basically all vaccines are safe and the risks are minimal if non-existent, then more and more people will get vaccinated, and there is reasonable proof that autism is caused by vaccines and many other bad reactions as a result of taking vaccines. Yes, more research needs to be done, no doubt about it. I'm not saying all vaccines are bad, but to say that they're all good is a vast misstatement of the facts. And by giving people a false sense of security with vaccines, we are therefore subjecting very young preschool children to harm. There are children that I could name, but I won't, that seem to have gotten autism and they're even unable to speak. Up to 5 years old, still not speaking correctly, apparently due to vaccinations. More research should be done. But to dismiss it out of hand, which is what the Washington Post and other media are doing, CBS included, in the wake of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being hired by Donald Trump, to dismiss that out of hand is a vast abuse of the journalistic enterprise, thereby subjecting people to potential and real harm. This cannot be overemphasized. You go back in history and you see all sorts of interesting things. Lord Northcliffe in England is the founder of the Daily Mail. I talked about this at a 9/11 program in Austin, where Ron also spoke. I was there as a reporter and commentator, but I made it known up front that I wasn't covering the event so much as speaking and participating. You make that clear up front, and it passes muster. At any rate, when I addressed the audience there, I spoke about the founder of the Daily Mail. He was so involved in the war propaganda for Great Britain that the German armed forces thought that he was an enemy combatant and actually shelled his house. This is how weaponized the media was interpreted to be, the UK media, the Daily Mail, interpreted to be that way by the German military. So you go back in history and you walk through history and you see a media not trying to keep us out of war, but for the most part trying to get us and keep us into wars, always thinking that the exercise of might is right, military might, is ultimately the answer. Not giving a lot of credence to diplomacy, not letting cooler heads prevail, not telling us that FDR knew, the evidence is just too strong to deny, that he knew the Japanese were going to bomb Pearl Harbor and did not tell the commanders there in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, Kimmel, in short. They were not informed. And so then the media continues the myth that it was a surprise attack in Pearl Harbor. They won't let it go. They won't let go of the fact that if we knew, even in hindsight, that FDR knew, then we would be wiser about other false flag events and we wouldn't be so easily prodded into the next war. And as Smedley Butler, the general, said, the well-known general, war is a racket. So the weaponized media cuts many different directions. It cuts across the entire world into the personal lives of people, into the professional lives, into the political and economic realms. Economic warfare is aided by media. Bad medicine is aided by media. Military warfare is aided by media, and so on and so forth. Do we have Ron back?
I've been back on the phone. Are you there?
Oh, yes. I was not notified right away. I gave my my soapbox for the night. Actually, it gave me an opportunity there to spread this out and show that media, and we'll even mention Horace Greeley during the Civil War, "Onward to Richmond" was one of his noted comments. This is, let's have the North sack their brothers in the South. Let's have America have warfare within its own borders, brother against brother, father against son. Tens of thousands of people rotting in fields, and the media saying, "Onward to Richmond." Okay, maybe we weren't alive then. Maybe we can't appreciate all what was going on. But now, with the gift of hindsight, we can see weaponized media going back at least to the 1860s. So fast forwarding, Ron, my soapbox, I now step off and I return the mic to you now that we have things straightened out. Skype is notoriously kind of nasty. We'll have a caller after the next break here, which is coming up in just a minute. And anyway, Ron, we'll get back to things. The judiciary has been a handmaiden to weaponized media. We can just continue with that. And you have shown...
Well, The other thing I was speaking of was about the substantial truth doctrine. And you can see where it can apply in certain cases. Like if a reporter reported that a petty thief had been captured by the police for stealing $200 out of the petty cash box at his company, and it was later discovered that he only stole $150, it could possibly be shown that that's a substantially true article in that, okay, so he was off $50. You can't show that that was really untrue, okay, that the amount of money was a little different, but the essence didn't change. But the substantial truth doctrine doesn't hold in my case. Where I'm not a member of the Republic of Texas, and I'm not a secessionist, and all the defamatory information was built upon those two lies. So the gist and the sting of the whole article is a lie, but they said it was substantially true. So that's how they got rid of that.
And we'll continue more on that in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
About 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I went from being able to work 14, 16 hours a day with no problem to where I could barely walk a block to the store without having to stop and rest. I went on to the phytonutrients about 6 months ago, and within a couple of months, my medical doctor had cut my prescriptions down in a little bit smaller dosage. The next time I went back a month later, I walked into the doctor's office and he said, "My gosh, what's happened to you? You don't even look like the same person." He looked at my legs and the swelling had gone down. My blood pressure was down. The venous stasis ulcers that I had had on my legs for the last 4 or 5 years because of the poor circulation were all healed, and I'm feeling far better.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
And we're back on the air with Ron Avery on tonight's National Intel Report on the 10th of January, 2017. Happy slightly belated New Year out there, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard to believe it is a new year. I still have to be told Happy New Year just so I remember it is. But with our guest tonight, Ron Avery, we're talking about fake news, fake law, the Texas Citizen Participation Act, his lawsuit against the Houston Chronicle, and all these things that add up to a pretty dire spectacle that we're seeing here. But also a ray of light that we're helping shine to bring this to a new level. We do have a caller, Lark from Texas. Do you have a question, Lark, or a comment?
A little bit of both.
Okay. Let's try and get it all in. Okay.
Okay. I've, of course, reached out to the both of you in the past. You know, what needs to be understood is just a couple things regarding your case, Ron. Number one, there's a court precedent now that the big media pathways, the corporations, have a legal right to lie now. And it stems from this thing called astroturfing. And it also flows from a recent court case involving the firing of the reporter Cheryl Atkinson from Fox News, who was blowing the whistle on Monsanto. Now, of course, what astroturfing is masking the fact that a news story is actually a paid solicitation on behalf of a corporation like Monsanto to report a story that's favorable to Monsanto's interest, for instance. Okay? And the fact is that what your attorney may not know, or your attorneys may not know, is the type of law that's being practiced in our courts, and I say our with parentheses, or quotation marks, rather, around them. Because they're not our courts. They are communitarian law courts. And this is a fact. I've been talking about this for years. I've reached out to the both of you to explain. You need to call your lawyer, Ron, if you have one, and explain to him that you're wise to the fact that what is being practiced in our courtrooms today, it doesn't matter at what level, it's communitarian law. And this is quite provable. It's provable. And if you simply need to know what the hell it is.
Okay.
I mean, you indicated earlier some words.
Can I address that now that you've presented that?
Sure.
First of all, when you're in court, if judges answer questions and they make their findings, and an attorney. If the defense, the defendant, does not bring up something, but he wins and you get your case dismissed, you only work on what is, in other words, they can't win a case on something that they didn't say. The judges further on down the line can't say, oh, well, we have a new law here, and that's what this is, and that even though they didn't bring it up, they didn't use it for a defense, but we're going to grant it to you anyway. The fact is, in court, you waive defenses that you don't use, and nobody in my case ever used any such a law I'm simply responding to the law that they presented.
But everything today has been redefined. When we talk about the language of the law, I mean, words like environment, words like climate, words like market, words like regulate, they've been redefined in ways that the average American has no idea that they've been redefined. It's the same with that word, community. You know, there is such a thing today called responsibility to protect, or R2P. And under communitarian law, this is called bedrock legal doctrine.
And, well, and nobody so brought up any of those kind of things. I mean, if we're going to say that all of our terms have been re-altered, all we can do is just get rid of it all and have a new lawful government based on real words with real definitions.
And we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, after these messages here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for more with Ron Avery.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi folks, in a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And we're going into the last half hour of tonight's National Intel Report. I'm Mark Anderson of American Free Press, filling in for John Stadtmiller. We've been talking tonight's entire show on 10 January 2017 with Ron Avery. He's noted, he's been reported by me in American Free Press and in other venues, his own websites included, for his ongoing lawsuit against Hearst Media, which owns the Houston Chronicle, and the Chronicle reporter Dylan Bador. We've talked about the roots of that. Of course, you'll be able to hear this show in the archive, too, as well as listening live now. I checked communitarian law very quickly, Ron. I won't go into it a lot, except just to kind of wrap up what Lark was saying to be helpful here. I found a site where it talks about every new law in the U.S. that balances individual rights against community rights is a communitarian law. This definition includes environmental laws that infringe on property rights and the creation of victimless crimes like DUIs, mandatory safety laws, mandatory helmets, mandatory seat belts. So that's some of the more basic ways, apparently, that communitarian law comes into our lives. Of course, this is beyond the scope of the rest of tonight's discussion, but just to kind of put a period on what our guest caller had to say there. But go ahead and continue in whatever vein you want, Ron, to wrap this up and bring this issue as clearly as possible to the forefront.
Okay, thank you. I think the real scary part about this is that if they can get away with me doing what they've done to me, and actually what this does is what the courts have done has laid a trap for me. The newspaper First of all, the statutory law on what is libel states one thing, and I had all the elements per se on their face that I had libel and I had defamation, and that I had that it was fake, that it was false, it was based on falsehood, and so I had a good case. And so after I file it, only then did I discover that it's up to a judge to figure out whether or not you had defamation. Well, this shouldn't be, and that defies the actual statute. Because the statute doesn't say that a judge must find whether or not something is defamatory. They don't say that in the statute. So it lays a trap for the common person to think that they have a legitimate lawsuit, only to find out that a judge determines whether or not you have a legitimate lawsuit. And none of the evidence matters. It just depends on what the judge thinks is cool. And then not only that, the act, when it makes the person that's the one that's been harmed, you know, if you bring a suit for libel, you've been harmed. You believe your reputation's been harmed. Well, here the harmed person comes along, and then he thinks he has a good, all the evidence shows he has a good solid case, and then the judge takes away his evidence, just dismisses it. And it still baffles my mind that a judge can just dismiss all these statements that were made by the public after reading the article. He just makes that vanish. And the Fourth Court of Appeals actually said Ronald F. Avery was the only one that found this article to be defamatory. The only one, after I had already given them evidence of all these comments. In fact, the defendants gave them that information, all the blog with all these comments on there. And then turn around and just make my evidence vanish, and then make me pay sanctions to prevent me from ever filing such a case again. That means punitive damages is really what that is. So they've turned me into the bad guy that has to pay all this stuff, because really what this means is, and this is what they're saying by their judicial renderings, is that I filed a slap suit. That I really tried to prevent Dylan Badauer from saying the truth about and exercising his freedom of speech, when in fact we know that he can't use his freedom of speech in here, or he should be fired because he's not supposed to do that. And it's just the same thing. They jumped on that lady, that anchor woman at Fox News in Houston. They got her fired for doing the same. And now they turn around and say their guy actually did it, and they don't fire him. They get him out from under a $10 million lawsuit for libel. That's irony if I've ever seen it. And the Houston Chronicle is all aware of that. And those guys, I can't imagine that they're going to make me pay attorney's fees for... Hearst is out of New York, and they have a 54-story brand-new skyscraper built since 9/11. And they have their own in-house lawyers, and they flew them down from New York to come to Seguin, Texas to have their motion for dismiss. And I got to pay them their plane fare and hotel and all of that stuff. And I'm the guy that's been beat up and turned into a terrorist. I'm madder than hell about this. I'm going to tell you, this isn't right. And I am definitely going to appeal to heaven if they finally rule that I'm the I got to go down there and have a hearing about how much I owe these guys.
Yeah, it baffled me at the very beginning at your first hearing with Judge Kirkendall, I believe was his name, that they didn't just use some local lawyer and not fly the Hearst lawyers out of Manhattan. That struck me odd right away, and of course that started this avalanche of costs that they're so wrongly trying to hold you responsible for.
Well, that's another thing. They have a local. They have a Jonathan Hall. He's out of New Braunfels. He's their local lawyer. But they didn't want to let him handle the motion for dismissal. I filed a motion to have Judge Kirkendall recused because that guy beat me up before down there in Seguin when I filed some stuff with him when he was the DA, showing that he just swept my complaint about some guys that had an unlawful contract with the city. They signed off as architects on an architectural contract, and they weren't architects, and I complained about it, and he threw me to the wolves, and then I complained about it, and I said that I didn't want this guy to hear any of my case, and then they had Jonathan Hull come over there for that, and so they were, oh no, they had a visiting judge to hear that, and oh no, you know, that's okay, oh, this is done all the time, this is a great old judge, you'll love him. So that's what I got, you know. My attorney that I used to use, he was too old to handle this when he didn't want to handle it, but I talked to him and I consulted with him a lot on this. He said, and what he used to say about this, he said, Ron, you're just getting hometown. This is called hometown, man. You just get beat up. You know, you're a newcomer. But this was 30 years ago, you know, when they were hometowning me. But maybe they're still hometowning me. But that doesn't. How does that help? Hometown is one thing, but Fourth Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court of Texas is another thing. I'm right up there at the top, and this is the precedent they're setting for our citizens, that the newspapers and TVs can go out and make terrorists out of anybody they want to, and they ain't a damn thing you can do about it when you sue them for it.
Yeah, and what Lark brought up, to add that extra element or layer to the cake here, is true. The notion, and it goes back to the days of earlier journalism when the author Ferdinand Lundberg wrote about the duplicity and the malpractices of the media, and you had a lot of the early columnists. The columnists would farm themselves out to corporations and government people, and the governments and the corporations would use, like Walter Lippmann and those well-known globalist-type columnists, they would use their good name to slyly and in a underhanded way promote the interest of a corporation, promote the interest of some government agency. And the columnists, being recognized and popular, would get away with these ideas far better than if the corporations or government agencies tried to promote it directly themselves. So this astroturfing that Lark talked about does happen. And I want to acknowledge that. And it's, you look at the whole thing and weaponized media and the courts being sucked into the same weaponized function. And John Locke talking about that when there's an absence of courts to apply justice, you basically render society into a state of war, or at least the foundation, the entryway into a state of war. We'll leave that open to a little interpretation. But when grievances can't be redressed, when libel can't be rectified, you're creating informational chaos and legal chaos and anarchy, really. Like Lark said, words don't mean what they used to mean. We can't even depend on the meaning of words in many cases, and so you really, it really puts us in a state of an upside down flag, distress, if you will.
Well, it's chaos and tyranny, and of course we have a God given right to seek lawful government. When we realize and observe like He has, I don't know anything about what He was talking about. There may be some merit to it, but I never pay attention to what people don't say. I pay attention to what people do say. And in court, all you have to do is respond to what people say, not what they don't say. And so they didn't mention any of that kind of stuff, so I don't have to show that was not appropriate or applicable. But
correct.
So all I'm saying is they didn't need that. they don't need, if they can win on this other stuff, which they can't, but they claim they can, and if they can get away with that, they don't need all this other stuff we think they have or we presume they have or whatever. You know, and I've heard all kinds of stuff all my life about this, not all my life, but the last 25, 30 years of it about the it's corporate courts now, and what we have is not really the common law courts and all this kind of stuff. But see, they don't bring it up, and it's not up to you to bring it up. It's what's out there. It's what's written. And I've looked at what's written, and I've looked at what they've said, and it's just what I perceive is they're just misusing this. They're expanding on it and not using it appropriately. In some cases, it's just bad law, period. And that Texas Citizens Participation Act is definitely bad law.
Yeah, and I would add, just for a news item for the listeners live and on the archive, that there's also something waiting in the wings, a proposal for a public participation policy or act. And this would nationalize, in effect, make national the concepts behind the TCPA, as we've talked about, Ron. And I'm just putting that out there as a little bit of a warning, a cautionary note, that this could go national. The TCPA could become a national kind of law under the Public Participation Act.
Correct. That's right.
And so that's something, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll be watching for, and we'll talk about more through RBN and AFP and many other venues. Well, Ron, we're getting into the last 10, 15 minutes. I'm looking at Landon Wade's article here, and he's being as fair as he can. The Texas Citizen Participation Act is far from perfect. He's saying this, but it is a step in the right direction in protecting the constitutional rights of Texas citizens. The statute is young, so it does have some unsurprising flaws. At this point, however, Mr. Wade wrote, the TCPA has done more to strengthen the power of media outlets than it has to protect the constitutional rights of individual citizens. This is that objective legal opinion that we talked about earlier. This does not mean, however, he says, that the TCPA is a lost cause. It gives the state of Texas an opportunity to champion the case of individual liberties and set examples to other states to protect citizens' constitutional rights. But, Mr. Wade adds, this can only be achieved, however, when the rights of all Texas citizens are taken into account, not just media defendants and big corporations.
Yes. Well, I can tell you where the first, and of course he mentions this very thing about the definition that's used in the act for, before you can use this act, the defendant has to prove that they were in fact expressing their freedom of speech. But they give, what makes the act bad is they give a definition in there of what that is, and it simply is this: a communication made in relation to a public concern, unquote. So it, and that's all the. In fact, when they file their motion for dismissal, that is all they said. They said this article was written is related to a public concern, and that's as far as they went, and that's as far as they could go, because they couldn't prove that he was actually using his freedom of speech. He didn't give any of his opinions about anything in the article. There wasn't anything in the article that said, even though these people talked about dissolution and they talked about getting away from the federal government, or they're going to the UN and filing some document at the UN, I really believe they're a bunch of secessionists. He didn't say that in the article. There's nothing in the article that would imply that or indicate that he expressed any of his own opinions about anything. And he didn't associate with them. He wasn't there to associate with them. He didn't petition. He was a good little reporter, and that's why they didn't fire him, because he wasn't doing any of that. And And they know that, and that's why they had Scarlett Fakar fired from the Houston Fox News Channel. And so this is the very first part that's really bad, that lets all these guys that really are not exercising their freedom of speech actually use this act to get out from under their libel suits.
Yeah, and hiding opinion behind a window dressing of so-called objective news. And so, yeah. You know, it was an opinion piece, in a sense, passed off as news. Yeah. And but he was there as a reporter, so he's not supposed to write opinions to begin with. It's a little tricky to sort out in that sense, but you know,
next thing that's really bad about this act is that it punishes, it makes it mandatory. It makes sanctions mandatory, and it makes all this stuff mandatory if the person loses, has the motion granted, motion to dismiss granted. It punishes them. And it should be up to maybe a jury to determine some of that stuff, whether or not they're mandatory, or even if they're mandatory at all. Because the other thing this act does, it just stops immediately all discovery. Once that motion for dismissal is filed, it makes any discovery unlawful. You cannot discover. You can't ask them any questions. You can't send them interrogatories. You can't ask them to do one ding dong thing, answer any question. So your case has to be solid as a rock before you even file it. And most cases are not. I don't of any kind of case. Always there's some kind of discovery that strengthens a case.
Correct. Yes,
and,
that's true.
And this thing prevents discovery, and it also the bar is raised real high for any evidence submitted by the plaintiff, and the bar for using the motion is very low for the defendant. So it's truly designed against the plaintiffs who have been injured, and it's in favor of the big shot corporations and big news media.
It's interesting how it's completely imbalanced between the media and the public, and also, like you just described, it's completely imbalanced within the machinery of the law.
Correct.
The bar being so high, the standards being different, the standards not being equal.
Yeah.
We do have a caller, Mark, from Florida, but before we bring him on, I'll just mention that, just to summarize as we get him on, you know, to say that his story was substantially true is like saying I have a substantially pure glass of water. There's only a tiny bit of cyanide in it. Would you drink that water? And then, like you said, it tends, all the law says that it tends to defame you. You don't have to have a burning cross in your yard. You don't have to have a Molotov cocktail thrown through your window because of
something
you said that the paper reported. You don't have to have your house burned down. You don't have to be kidnapped. Just a tendency to defame you. It's actually, you know, quite relatively easy to prove libel, and yet this TCPA blocks it. Now, with the time we have left, let's bring Mark from Florida on. I hope he's still with us. There's a lot to sort out here, but we want to bring you on. Are you out there, Mark?
Yes, you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yes. Fire away. Yep.
Good. Ron, it seems like you sued a man for lying about you, and he would not publicly apologize. So you sued him, and the courts decided that by you suing him, you even defamed him more than he ever defamed you, so you got to pay him money instead.
Yeah, it's kind
is
of
that about right?
Well, sure. What they've done is say it's more evil to file a slap suit than it is to be defamed. But that's ridiculous.
The slap suit is the one that counts,
and it's not a slap suit anyway. See, and I've showed that. I told him in court. I said I don't give a damn what he says as a matter of his own opinion. He can do that all day long. I don't care to stop him. I'm not punishing him for giving his own opinion. He didn't do that. He reported facts, and he lied about what the facts were, and then he built on those lies to make me into a terrorist. And
he intentionally wanted to hurt you. And it shows you that how corrupt the court system is. Rod Class covers it a lot. Mark Stevens covers it a lot. There's got to be an appeal to a higher authority than the judge. You like senator, step in. This is not right. You got to stop it.
Well, I hate that because that's what they always want you to do. They want you to go to the legislature. The judiciary has all the authority, and it's a smaller group, and they should actually be ruling on the law correctly. That's what you have a judiciary for.
Well, there should be something mandatory.
The idea that you have to have a groundswell, and I have to convince 35 million citizens of Texas to alter something. This is where they know they have you. When all the institutions that are created are corrupt, and people are too busy. You cannot get 35 million people together to go down and get their congressman to do something. I'm so tired of that. I am sick and tired of dealing with trying to do anything politically. That's all in the trash can. Now
you're right.
Judiciary's in the trash can. Let me tell you, this thing is pretty far down the road. I don't see it getting better. I see it's going to keep getting worse.
I hope Trump is a bite on that on the federal level, and that'll really that'll be like a waterfall down on the county and the municipalities if he starts taking out some judges that are really out of line. That would be fantastic.
What's that? Who's taking out any judges?
No, I was saying if Trump would at the federal level take out corrupt judges, and act like that would trickle down to the county level, and you would get better. You would get justice.
That'd be good. That would be good. I'd like to see. I tell you what. The idea, though, about a savior from the top, I don't believe works. What really needs to happen is that people need to get off their butts and do the right thing where they're at. If every citizen would do the right thing where they're at, we wouldn't need a president to save us.
I agree. But to them, it's a religion, and they read these books, and their books are their holy Bible, and that's what they go by.
Yeah.
So they're enforcing a religion on you. It's not has nothing to do with your particular harm.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for calling.
I do believe we're out of time tonight. Ron, we'll continue this discussion with me offline, and maybe you'll get back here on the National Intel Report. Thanks for listening out there here on RBN. I'm Mark Anderson filling in for John Stattmiller. We'll see you next time. The show's on again, of course, tomorrow night, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time. Have a great evening.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's ANGIOPRIM.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.